Wangarari Majinu, Paula Kruger, ABC Radio, Canberra Wurundjeri.
When was the last time you bought a postcard and send it to someone? You know, I remember buying a few and I think I just use them as bookmarks now because I just like looking at them. You know, for me, they're a souvenir of my trip. But picture postcards, they've been around since the 1800s and they still remain popular today. Although the modern versions is usually, you know, a photo of a tourist destination. Now, as part of our Treasure Tune-Up series on tourist souvenirs, Senior Conservator at Endangered Heritage Victoria Pearce, as she is with you right now, and we're talking about the history and the value of postcards. Victoria, great to have you back.
Hi, thanks, Paula. I love postcards.
I know, they're so exciting. They're so exciting.
And yeah, they're really great.
And I especially like it in, you know, often in offices, you know, usually in the tea room. There'd be a wall where when people go on holidays, they send a postcard back to the office and yeah. There'd usually be something either on the fridge or on a wall where you see a collection of postcards.
Yeah, the postcards are all sort of like this quintessential, no matter where I am in the world, I'm thinking of you. But they're also a good dose of ne-ne-ne-ne-ne yeah. on them as well, isn't there? You know, I'm here.
Exactly.
In paradise and you're stuck in the office.
I know. Oh. It's not one of those, I wish you were here. It's like, you're not here.
Yeah, yes. That's it. That's exactly right.
Is that why they're still popular?
Yeah, I think so. I think that one of the things that's made them really popular, in my opinion, is that we often want to keep in touch and to touch base with people, but often we don't really have an awful lot to say, and a letter's an awful lot of work, and a postcard isn't. It is a kind of fun way of saying, you know, making a connection, but giving a little bit more of a damn than just sending a text.
Yeah.
A little bit more of an effort, and especially while you're on holiday.
And not only is there the postcard, but, you know, back in the day when people used to collect stamps, you got the postcard and a stamp from a foreign country.
That's right, which was a really big deal because, you know, people would trade and collect stamps, as you say, with a lot of enthusiasm at different points in history. And some countries would rely on the beauty of their stamps for people to actually purchase and hold up their currencies in some of the Pacific Islands particularly. Yeah.
Yeah. And who were the kinds of people that collected postcards?
I think there are all sorts of people that collect postcards, but there are people who collect them for different reasons. Like you say, some of them are collecting them as a historical document for the photograph of a place or particularly pre-war postcards that may give us indications of how buildings and places looked before they were bombed or damaged. Postcards can therefore hold a lot of historical record, especially when other forms of the original photographs or slides or negatives may be long lost. The mass production element of a postcard means that there's a record of those photographs that's been circulated that people collect. Then about sort of late in the 1880s where people had, the fashion of taking your own photographs and, really started to hit off actually closer to the 1900s, postcards stopped being sort of a document of a serious document of a place and started becoming more... I guess the old-fashioned meme, you know, a bit of a comic line or skit or a bit bawdy. You'd see even sort of slightly unclad women on the fronts of postcards. You'd see sort of jokes and little cartoons and little ditties or song jingles and things from, you know.
So they started getting a bit more gimmicky.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit more mirthful, I guess, and like memes, like we send memes to people with just a short, quick, you know, a joke or point of view. That's how postcards filled that gap as well, and people would put their own personalised message on the other side, and send them off.
Now, you mentioned, Victoria, that some of these postcards are of places that no longer exist or places that look very different now. How old are some of those old photographs on postcards?
Well, we have a belief that the first sort of hand-painted design on a card was created in 1840, and it was sent with a penny black stamp by Theodore Hook. Made that postcard and posted it to himself, and that one sold for £31,750 in 2002. So some of them pick up an awful lot of value over time with the stamp and the postcard still connected. So, and then by the late 1880s, we started seeing more postcards coming into use around the period that the great exhibitions were very popular, and those world fairs where people would come from different countries to show off their trade goods, inventions and things, and postcards. And people would travel from wide areas to come to the great exhibitions or world fairs to see what was the newest thing on the globe. And people would buy a lot of postcards from different storeholders from different countries and send them. Again, it's a bragging rights. You know, I've been to the World Fair and I've got this postcard and sent it to you. You missed out. yes. So, and by the time photography was around, we started getting places and events. You know, like I said, they became more gimmicky, cartoony, and those both styles of postcards persist now. A lot of places in Europe and America often prevent you from taking photographs of sites or museums or artworks anymore because they're worried about the light levels or the damage that might happen to that. To those objects, and so they sell postcards, really nice postcards in the gift shop. We do that here at the National Gallery as well to try and discourage people from taking a poor quality photo of an artwork and potentially damaging the artwork and having our iconic artwork represented by professional photography in a postcard. So people, like say, buy them for themselves as a souvenir of having gone to a gallery or an event or a place, and sometimes don't even post them.
Yeah.
But the link between postcards and the stamp, as you said, Paula, means that they've been a very popular vehicle in Australia and New Zealand for the issuing of first day covers.
Okay.
So that you got that card with the stamp blown up and that artwork blown up on one side of the postcard with the original first day cover stamp on the other side.
You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra and you're hearing about postcards from Victoria Pearce, Senior Conservator at Endangered Heritage. Victoria, we've had a text from James from Gemma Convene who says, Vanuatu has two interesting post boxes, one underwater and the other one on a volcano. We posted postcards from both on our honeymoon. That's a nice memory to have of a honeymoon.
Great.
And then this text says, I love a postcard. When my parents were travelling the world, Mum would email and Dad would write the hilarious postcards. I kept them all. My poster used to read them as well and they were quite funny. Yeah, we want to provide a little bit of entertainment for the postie too. But you have a personal connection with an embroidered French postcard from wartime. Tell me about that, Victoria.
Like I said, there are lots of different gimmicky type vehicles, glitter and cut out postcards and paper toil postcards, and the silk embroidered postcards, I guess, was another way of trying to sort of ensure your postcards got sold and you made that little bit of money. And in World War One, the silk postcards were made by the thousands in France particularly. And my grandmother's sister, Melanie, the parents died and the kids were sent to orphanages, and my great aunt Melanie ended up in an orphanage run by nuns, and she was seven, and from that age all of the girls were required from sun up to sundown to embroider these postcards.
Wow.
In really cold and horrible conditions. And so every time I have a silk postcard come into the shop to be you know, conserved, I look at it really fondly and tenderly and think, I wonder if that was one that my great aunt had made, and I'll never know. But I have a real affection for them. So they used to be sold to particularly sort of soldiers, American soldiers. A lot of them would be embroidered with, you know, to dearest mother or to my sweetheart, or with flags and symbols of peace or bells or butterflies, and they would be bought and sent to sweethearts back home.
And as we always say on Treasure Tune up here, Victoria, it's not just the object, it's always the story behind the object that makes them so special.
Yeah, it is. And that object, those objects are something that really have a lot of meaning for me, because Melanie's brother, who went off to war, ended up in Belgium, where he bought a tiny, tiny silver child symbol that he sent to her at the orphanage. And she'd never used it. She was too scared the nuns would confiscate it from her, and so she never, ever used it. And when my grandmother emigrated out to Australia, it was the gift that she gave my grandmother and said, you know, never forget me. And it's the one thing that I inherited from the old country. So, yeah, very, very, it's always about the stories, Paula.
That's right. What a treasure. We've had a text from Richard who says, as a child, I collected many weird and wonderful things, including postage stamps and postcards. He says, I think it was my grandmother who started me on postcards. I still collect postcards sent from family in their travels. Often these days they are addressed to my kids, and I'll store them in a tin with my childhood collection. And Richard also says that I buy antique postcards from secondhand and antique stores, and favourite cards are a series of sepia cards from the Murray River in South Australia, showing a bygone era of river life. And these are a special part of the world because it's home and the river runs through his blood. And he collects souvenir postcards on his own travels as well. Richard's described keeping them in a tin together with his childhood collection. What are some of the best ways to care for old postcards if we have them, Victoria?
Well, postcards, because they come from all over the world and are made with all sorts of different technologies, different printing styles. Some can be lithographs, the very old ones. Some are photographic. Some can be, you know, more modern printing methods, offset printing, etc. And like I said, some can have glitter or other additions, ribbons, silk put on them. It means that they have got an absolute cocktail of dyes and inks and pen and adhesives from the stamps and everything else, all in one space.
So when you say a cocktail, it provides a bit of a challenge for people like you.
Well, it can provide a terrible disaster if they were to get wet.
True.
So the best way to keep them is not all together bunched up, but to have them separated in sleeves like you would photo sleeves. You can get really good archival polypropylene sleeves that allow you to see both sides without having to handle them with fingerprints and things on them, which does more damage, and putting them in albums. But it's a really good idea to keep them separate from each other, because if something does go terribly wrong and inks start to shift and move, you don't want them sort of transferring to the others in a box like that. The other thing is, as things age, as I keep banging on, they all become a little bit more acidic.
Oh, I find that with myself as I age too, Victoria. I'm a little more acidic as I get older.
Yes, well, experience. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I won't apologise for it.
No. Yeah, so we try and use nice archival storage that's in the alkali range to help buffer that acidity and slow the deterioration down.
On Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra, Victoria Pearce is with you, a senior conservator at Endangered Heritage. Victoria, when you see different postcards come in, you always love a story, and you mentioned that the ones that are similar to the ones you have a connection with, the embroidered postcards, get your heart racing. What are some of the other ones that you enjoy seeing come in?
Well, we've had one of my favourites was a photographic postcard of a little kitten, little fluffy cat. in a black and white photo, but it had two pieces of paper adhered to the reverse of it with a little squeezy toy in the inside to throw at me out.
That's fantastic.
So that was a little bit of a favourite. And I've had a coconut postcard. Have you seen those, Paul?
Yes. Well, many moons ago, my dad used to work in Cocos Islands, and yes. They were known to post coconuts back with the address written on it and a stamp stuck to it. So, yes, those are the coconut postcards I'm thinking of. Are you thinking of something different?
No, that's exactly right. So they would paint on them and decorate them, often with local scenes or palm trees or something, and then put one the other side of the coconut would have a white area so that people could,
So you could actually carve your message.
Yeah, or write on them and then post the coconut. And I think I've mentioned before some of my favourite ones. At the War Memorial, which has a great collection of postcards, are the tack, the hard tack.
Yes.
Biscuit. That people have gone, oh, I've eaten this. This is silly. We'll put stamps on it and write on the biscuit and go send it back home, usually with words to the effect, if they expect us to eat this rubbish, send food fast. I've had some really fantastic postcards that have come through that have been really... they stand out.
Yes.
The coconut ones do stand out. You always wonder if no matter what you do to preserve them and given the right conditions, they might just sprout.
That's right. I just think coconuts can survive anything, I reckon, Victoria. You're pretty safe there. But look, thank you so much for telling us all about postcards. It's stirring up some wonderful memories. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah, thanks, Paula. Bye-bye.
That's Victoria Pearce, Senior Conservator at Endangered Heritage. And thanks to the texter who texted earlier saying about Dad writing hilarious postcards and that the postie used to read them as well and find them quite funny. Also sent us a photo of beautiful postcards from Florence. They just look amazing. You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra with Paula Kruger.